ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तत्र नारायणः साक्षात् भगवान् न्यासिनां गतिः संस्तूयते सत्कथासु मुक्तसङ्गाय पुनः पुनः.
Translation: The Supreme Lord Narayana is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting. The holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayana, is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those in the renounced order of life, and Narayana is worshipped through this Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Mayavadi sannyasis are missing the real presence of Narayana. This is because they falsely claim to be Narayana himself. According to the customary etiquette of Mayavadi sannyasis, they address one another as Narayana. To say that everyone is a temple of Narayana is correct, but to accept another human being as Narayana is a great offense. The conception of Daridra Narayana, or poor Narayana, an attempt to identify the poor with Narayana, is also a great offense. Even to identify Narayana with demigods like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva is an offense. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatai Samatvenaiva Vikshita Sa Pashandi Bhavedruvam. Translation: One who considers Lord Narayana on a level with great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is immediately listed among the non-believers, or Pashandis. The fact is that by performing Sankirtan Yajna, one can immediately please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Narayana himself descends and immediately is present. In this age of Kali, Narayana is immediately present in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Concerning Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 states, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Tangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayarya Jantihi Sumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. After all, human life is meant for pleasing Narayana, and this can easily be done by performing Sankirtan Yajna. Whenever there is congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord Gaura Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya, immediately appears and is worshipped by Sankirtan Yajna. In this verse it is said that Narayana is Nyasinam Gatihi. the ultimate goal of the sannyasis. The goal of those who have renounced the material world is the attainment of Narayana. A Vaishnava sannyasi, therefore, dedicates his life to serving Narayana. He does not falsely claim to be Narayana. Instead of becoming Nirvaira, or non-envious of other living entities, one who tries to become a Narayana becomes envious of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the attempt to become Narayana constitutes the greatest offense. Actually, when one chants or discusses the transcendental activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes non-envious. In this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy name of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of all other living entities. When we are no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be real peace, unity, and fraternity in human society. Without Narayana or Sankirtan Yagya, there cannot be peace in this material world. Yatra Narayana Sakshat Bhagavan Nyasinam Gatihi Samstuyate Satkatasu Muktasangai Punapanaha. The Supreme Lord Narayana is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Narayana is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those in the renounced order of life. And Narayana is worshipped through this Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. Srila Prabhupada just shifted the focus in these verses from a more general sense of hearing topics of the Lord to very specific, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which is perfectly fine, because the chanting of the holy name in within Krishna's name is everything. The qualities of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the abode of Krishna, the associates of Krishna, everything in relation to Krishna is within his holy name. So, chanting of the holy name in congregational fashion is really concentrated, very, very powerful. The broader context from the previous verses was when the greatest benediction is the association of pure devotees of the Lord, and where pure devotees of the Lord reside, they engage in katha about their lovable object. And when that katha about their lovable object is performed, their lovable object, the Lord himself, is present. And when he's present, that, as previously stated and again stated here, when that Supreme Lord is present through his glorification, attraction for other things dissipates and is eradicated. And one's attraction becomes very singular and focused. Vyavasayat nika buddhi. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. That capacity of the soul, even tendency of the soul, becomes awakened by the hearing and chanting process. And so we have Bhagavat Marg has so much emphasis on hearing and chanting process. Worshipping, but worshipping is accompanied by hearing and chanting. Jiva Goswami expresses this in his Bhakti Sandarbhas. A little different than we're accustomed to hearing about the nine processes of bhakti. The way that Prabhupada commonly describes is all of the nine processes, or even any one of the nine processes, if done properly, is sufficient to give the goal of life. And so we have each of the nine processes, there's some personality, great Vaishnav, who achieves spiritual perfection through one of those nine processes. So Prabhupada would say, you perform all nine, or eight, or seven, and they then do the countdown, even one. And spiritual perfection, they're so potent. Jiva Goswami says a little differently, with emphasis upon chanting. Any of the nine processes are fine. They should be accompanied by chanting. That's his statement. And it's true. You know, how are you going to have remembrance without hearing and chanting? Or worship of the deity. What's the worship of the deity without chanting? And prayer and serving the Lord and so forth. They're accompanied with chanting. Just like we do our deity worship. Before the deity worship, Mangal Arati. Then the deity worship. And then more kirtan. Kirtan, worship, kirtan. So when that kirtan or the sankirtan is being performed, the Supreme Lord is manifest himself, as we heard yesterday. Reference from Padma Purana, the Supreme Lord telling Narada, I'm not in my Vaikuntha. People think I'm in Vaikuntha. I'm not in Vaikuntha. Some yogis think I'm in their hearts. I'm not in their hearts. I'm not in the heart. I'm where the devotees come together and chant my glories. That's where I am. There's examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Gaura Lila where just from the performance of Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya manifests himself with his associates and performs wonderful kirtan with them. And sometimes devotees are fortunate enough to see. Sometimes devotees are not so fortunate, but he's still present. I remember in New York City, the devotees wanted to really promote Srila Prabhupada, so they rented an expensive hall. Forget which one, Avery Fisher Hall or one of those, you know, prominent ones. They spent a lot of money. We didn't have money at that time. But they somehow gathered the money and rented the hall. And they made this massive advertising campaign. Flyers and passed out zillion flyers in the city. It said free. And because it was free at this prominent hall, nobody came. There were a handful of people that came. The devotees were very embarrassed and unhappy and ashamed. And Prabhupada came and conducted the program like the place was packed. And afterwards, he knew what they were going to say. Oh, we're so sorry, nobody came. And Prabhupada said, why do you say no one came? Didn't you see? Narada Muni was there. Lord Shiva was there. Lord Chaitanya was there. During the kirtan, didn't you see? But then he explained, when you have some major function like this, that we may have people can come to our temple and it's free prasadam. But anyway, he was making this point that something that's free, people don't take seriously. Remember one time in Prabhupada's quarters, our temple president had come from Chicago to New York for two purposes. One was to complain about something, and the other was to invite Prabhupada. His complaint was about book distribution methods. It was just at the time the Krishna book had been, just after the Krishna book had been first published. And you know, in the beginning of the foreword portion of the Krishna book, there's this record label of the Beatles was called Apple Records, like a green apple and a little bit of the peel coming off. And so some of the devotees made a button. They didn't say, you know, we're the representatives of Apple Records. They just made a button and showed people the book and showed them the page. You know, so the connection was made, oh, Apple Records. They didn't say it. It was merchandising or marketing or something like that, whatever you call it. And this devotee was very upset, saying, Prabhupada, do you know that your disciples are doing this? This is deceiving the public. And it could give us a bad name. It's very bad. Please put a stop to it. So Prabhupada asked, there was an assembly of devotees, and Prabhupada said, in your country, is this illegal? He said, no, Prabhupada, sees that the individuals are not saying they're representatives of Apple Records. They're saying the book is, you know, was that it was sponsored by George Harrison. He gave $50,000. And he authorized that, you know, that it wasn't in violation of trademark law. He authorized that could go into the book. So Prabhupada said, what is the harm? He said, in marketing, sometimes they sell a product that says, you take this oil and rub it on your head, it'll make your bald head grow hair. Are you all right? And Prabhupada said, everybody knows that your hair isn't going to grow. But they say, you rub it on your head, it'll make your hair grow. That was the example that he gave. And said, it's innocent. Said, you know, it's in fact, George Harrison donated the funds for the printing of Krishna book, and it was authorized because Prabhupada personally knew that they put that logo of the Apple Records right in the foreword of the book that George Harrison wrote. It's like, you know, his brand in the, you know, in the writing of the foreword. So this Govinda was his name. Sri Govinda was unhappy. Then he went to the next topic and he said, Prabhupada, we would like you to come to Chicago. We've made an arrangement for a large hall and we'd like you to come and we'll do major promotion and it'll be all free. And Prabhupada said, you have to charge something. And Sri Govinda said, but Prabhupada, you said somebody that speaks Bhagavat Katha and they charge money, then that's bad. You know, it's a professional Bhagavat reciter. That's bad. And Prabhupada said, this isn't money that's going to come to me for my recitation. It's if they don't give anything, they won't take it seriously. If it's going to cost them some money, oh, this must be an important person. We'll take it seriously. It's not for my maintenance. It's so people will take the thing seriously. And similarly, he spoke like that about his books. I mean, there may be some circumstances when a devotee or a book distributor may genuinely see interest and genuinely see the person doesn't have capacity and he makes some arrangement to give somebody a book. But in general, Prabhupada taught us that people should make some sacrifice. Otherwise, they won't take it seriously. So, back to the association of devotees, where the detachment comes naturally by becoming attracted to, becoming attached to the personality of Godhead through the process of hearing and chanting, as we heard, at least for the time being. Their cares and worries and concerns go far away because of the presence of the personality of Godhead. The Vaikuntha mood is established by that. And then specific in this verse, Bhagavan Nyasinam Gatahi. Those who are experienced in this process, those who are sannyasis or nyasinam, those who are detached from worldly things, what's their goal? Their goal is Bhagavan. And therefore, puna punaha, they engage in this process again and again. In fact, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrata kadiyantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. They don't want to stop. They want to continue. Or at least regularly, again and again. Like in contrast, not a saptaha, a 7-day, and then afterwards, it's over. It was a nice experience. And then back to business as usual. One time in Mayapur, during a Gaur Purnima festival, this was at a time when the only thing that existed was the long building and the lotus building. The temple, the deities of Chota, Radha, Madhava, we didn't have the big Radha Madhava at that time, was in the lotus building. And Prabhupada's Vyasasana in the Kirtan Hall. So after the morning program and after breakfast, it was a quiet time. And suddenly the sound vibration in the temple room was there of Kirtan. And it was like a lively Kirtan. But after some time, I was out in the little park area, and I saw Prabhupada come to the balcony, look over the balcony, listen. And then it got really noisy up there on the second floor. Prabhupada called for his servant and a whole, like an army of big, strong sannyasis went down the stairs. And because what happened was in the temple room, it was some sahajiyas having kirtan. And it started out normal. They were just sitting down with all their instruments, because they brought all their instruments with them, and were singing nicely. But then, very quickly, it got loud, and then they started rolling on the ground. And control yourself. And just like, sahajya, they were crying and wailing and, carrying on in a wild way. So the sannyasis came and stopped them, and literally picked them up and sent them out of the temple room. And as they were walking out of the temple room, they took out their beedis and started smoking. Just like immediately. Prabhupada's ear was so refined that just by hearing, he couldn't see. He just heard the kirtan. And he knew, this is sahajiyas. Get them out right away. And then after they got out, Prabhupada said, 24-hour kirtan in the temple room just to purify the atmosphere. He took it very seriously. So it's not just kirtan. It's with not pretense, with purity, with the intent of attaining purity, not imitating and crying and rolling on the ground, but genuine call for Krishna to be engaged in his service and to be accepted in his eternal association in that way. So Sahaja is at one end and the Mayavadi is at the other end. Prabhupada dedicates a fair amount of the purport to, because it's Nyasinam Gatihi, Bhagavan. So not knowing that Bhagavan is the Gatihi, the goal, what do? Put yourself in that role. I'm Narayan. And I've had this experience, you know, wearing sannyas cloth and going in various places in the public. And sometimes people speak like that. Om Narayanaya. That's like, you know, okay, I know what that means. That means they're Mayavadis. At least they've been tainted by that. They've been trained in that way. That when you see some sannyasi, that's how you address him. And it's not just, you know, something that you read in a book. It's something that people do. Some people see that a renunciate is Narayan. Because why? Because from the impersonal perspective, all there is Brahman. And here's a person who has renounced that which is non-Brahman, and therefore they're Brahman, and that's what Narayan is. He's Brahman covered. That's offensive. Narayan is Brahman covered. Not so. But that's how they see. Or Daridra Narayan, the poor is Narayan, and wait a minute, he's Bhagavan. He's full of all opulences. What's the question of poor? And if the poor are Narayan, then everyone is Narayan, not just the poor are Narayan. It's like a double aberration. Or the demigods are on equal level with Narayan. We know that from our the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name. To hold the demigods, Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. It's an offense against the holy name. So why is Prabhupada so concerned about it? Because it's offensive. And if you don't say it, you know, if you don't make it clear that it's offensive, then you just buy into it and it becomes part of life and you become an offender. So for at least his readers, his audience, Prabhupada was helping his audience who are in this age of Kali prone to be influenced by such impersonal notions to protect them. Beware. You know, it's like put a sign on something that says poison. You know, don't keep within the reach of children. It's poisonous. Or a high voltage, something, you know, like skull and crossbones. Look out. Because it's very dangerous. And this is very dangerous stuff. Lord Chaitanya said, one who simply hears and becomes accustomed to hearing this Mayavad philosophy, it's like knowingly drinking poison. You're dead. Spiritually, dead. Because spiritually, the real life of the soul is to serve the personality of Godhead. And if you can't chant in that way, you can chant in the other way. You can chant as the Sahajyas chant, or you can chant in the other way where you're chanting for the purpose of becoming Narayan. I'll share one more anecdote with you. When I was in college, I didn't know anything about Hare Krishna movement or India teachings and practices, but there was this Harvard University professor who had gone to India in search for a guru, and he came back and he was doing the college circuit chanting Hare Krishna. I didn't know what was going on. It just like, it was catchy. and I was attracted. So I attended some of his programs. And in fact, I followed him a little bit because he was, you know, a charismatic person. You know, Harvard University professor, now teaching, you know, find yourself through chanting of this mantra. And one of his phrases when he would introduce the chanting was, when you're chanting, try to become one with the chant. I thought, wow, that's cool. Become one with the chant. What does that mean? Become one with the chant. Okay. So we had like a very slow, kind of a drone-like chant. And then after hearing some more, he started explaining what he meant. That initially it's you and the chant, and it's you and the chant, but after some time it's just the chant. And right away it clicked and I said, this guy's ridiculous. What he's saying is you become Krishna. That's what he's saying. Forget it. I just like, that was it. I walked away. I said, you know, poor Krishna. If this is what Krishna has become, you know, what an unfortunate being. How can that be? So impersonalists also chant, and sahajiyas also chant. So the chanting, the quality of the chanting has to be with a proper conception. Last night there was some question about what are the aside from asat Krishna, or thirst for the material, for the non-permanent, what are the other three things that are causes of anartha? So tattva, vhrama, misconception of truth. These are examples of misconception of tattva, illusion, conceptions of truth. And if you chant in that way, you're not going to get the fruit of chanting. The opposite. You'll become bewildered. So, Bhagavan yasinam gatihi. Those who are not receiving devotee association and are engaged in some type of repeating or vibrating of Vedic sounds or even names of God, they're not going to get the proper shelter. So we need both. We need the process of chanting. We need the proper conceptions. Very clear spiritual conceptions are, it's not just important, it's imperative. And then it becomes possible for us to get this detachment and attachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna. And lastly, Prabhupada is speaking about Lord Chaitanya. So he is Narayana, and he is present when the Sankirtan is being properly performed. Krishna's name is being chanted. Lord Chaitanya is attracted to the chanting of Krishna's name, and he comes in the presence of his devotees who are chanting Krishna's name very nicely. Narayana is present, and we get it in his very merciful form, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates. In fact, we can become one of his associates through that chanting. His servants, those who are carrying forward the Sankirtan movement of Mahaprabhu. So that's what this verse is describing. See if there's any comments or question.
Maharaj, regarding your description of how Prabhupada is generalizing the topics about Krishna to the holy name, just like that. In the purport, instead of mentioning about the topics about Krishna, Prabhupada is emphasizing that you are mentioning that everything is contained in the holy name, all the topics and everything. Sankirtana, in general, Prabhupada is writing about the holy name. My question is, generally such type of topics, some devotees say that why to discuss about the topics of Krishna in classes when...
Some devotees say what?
Why to discuss about the topics of Krishna when everything is there in the holy name?
Why even have Krishna Katha, just chant?
Yeah. That.
If you can just chant, fine. But the topics of Krishna help us get the proper conception of Krishna. So both are valuable. In fact, as I said, it's essential.
Some devotees say the chanting of the holy name itself can give proper conceptions. Why again?
Well, I beg to differ with the persons that say that. Take the two examples I just gave, the Mayavadi and the Sahajya. Practical experience. They have a misconception, although they're chanting. Yes.
Mayavadi, Shri Maharaj, Mayavadi philosophy is poisonous to the conditioned soul, as you rightly said. Then why do Krishna give so much of success to the Mayavadi philosophers?
Why does Krishna do what?
Success.
It's Kali Yuga. You know, why Bollywood is so successful? Why liquor is so popular? Why do people smoke cigarettes? Everybody knows it kills them, and they do it. Why? It's Kali Yuga. And so that's on the material side, and then on the spiritual side. You know, be the enjoyer or be God. Take your choice. Ah, I'll be God. That's it. Okay, here's the program. And for that to happen, he who is God has to disappear. So that's what their teaching is. They cover him. Vada means doctrine, and Maya is their doctrine. The Maya covers Brahman. That's their doctrine. They just... God disappears and they become God. Popular. It's Kali Yuga.
Because the devotees have to spend so much of time fighting against this evil, no, Maharaj?
Huh?
The devotees have to spend so much of time.
You got to do something. Give you something to do. Something else? Yes, over here.
Is it better to ask for Krishna for any of the lack in the social status?
Is it better to ask Krishna for what?
For any of the lack in our health or in our any of the basic necessity of a person, like we...
Basic necessities of a person.
If we have lack of some health or some problem that is very basic to our life, but we know, since we are continuously listening from the acharyas, that you know it is not better to ask to Krishna to for your some personal desire, then what a devotee can do in such a position, that whether he should ask for his likeness to the Lord or what he should do?
I think I've got your question. It's not that it's wrong, bad, not like that. But it's something like, you know, a child saying to their parents, "Will you please feed me?" Or, "It's cold out. Can I have a jacket?" Or chadar or something. Because the parents are already thinking, "My child is hungry, it's cold out, they need a jacket." We don't need to ask God for necessities. We can do that. We don't need to do that. A child that knows they have loving parents knows that those things will be taken care of. So, since they're receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving and receiving, what is an appropriate thing to pray to God? You've given me everything. What is it that I can do for you? Please give me some opportunity to serve and please you. But you're complete, so you don't need anything. So just allow that act of kindness that I can extend something to you that you don't need at all. But just out of love. Let that love in my heart become awakened. So let's go back to the other one. Necessities, there's no harm. Certainly no harm. You follow? Okay. Supposing I'm a small child, and here's my mother and father. There's no harm to say to my mother and father, I have this necessity. Can you help me? No harm. Because they're loving parents, they're already contemplating the necessity of their child. That's what parents do. They love doing that. So there's no necessity. There's nothing wrong with it. But if the child is thinking, what can I do to please my parents? That's love. And therefore the advice that you're referring to is how devotees are describing, rather than ask for necessities that are going to come anyway, according to, you know, our deserve, our need and our deserve, we don't, our attention doesn't have to go there. Higher is, how can I be of some service? So there's a feeling of gratitude in the heart of the dependent, feeling, what can I do for the one who is supplying me all of my necessities? And that desire, if nurtured, is bhakti. So then all of the things that we do in our life becomes an expression of giving back to the one who we received everything from. That desire awaken in my heart is the idea. Okay.
Srila Shankaracharya.
Shankaracharya. I've heard his name before.
Srila Shankaracharya suggested and this Panchayatana system, including worship, should be done to Vishnu also, to bring everybody to common platform. He proposed to take consideration of Vishnu also to worship. And why do they avoid, and how to make them continue the suggestion of Shankaracharya?
I got about 50% of what he said. Did you get the whole thing? Even if they worship Vishnu instead of the other four, the concept that they have is wrong. Or if they worship the other four instead of Vishnu, the concept that they have is wrong. So it doesn't ultimately matter if the concept is wrong. And their position is, it doesn't matter. You can worship this one, you should worship that one. Yatamatatopat, whenever you like, it's fine. Because in the ultimate issue, it's all one. So what's important is not just to get the followers of Shankar to worship Vishnu, but to have them understand what's being presented here, or like the Bhagavad Gita verse yesterday evening, Krishna is paramavyayam. He's transcendental. He's not covered Brahman. He's transcendental. With spiritual opulences that are fully spiritual. They're not manifestations of the modes of nature. They're inexhaustible, unlimited spiritual potencies, and with spiritual form, spiritual quality, spiritual activity. That's the challenge. And it's a challenge because it's fundamentally diametrically opposite. Brahman has no qualities. Brahman has no form, etc. That's the challenge. You know, once someone has taken poison, it's difficult because it immediately goes throughout their whole system. Not only the mouth becomes poisoned, but the whole body becomes poisoned. Consciousness becomes contaminated by the notions of impersonalism. So Narayana or Krishna or Vishnu becomes obscured altogether. That's the challenge. I guess so.
The Shankaracharya followers also propagate about Gita, but they are not so intensive as ours. And
not so
intensive.
Intensive.
And also not properly motivated. How to make them to come forward?
Give them prasadam. It's true. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were mentioning about how purity of the Sankirtan has to be maintained. It is not just chanting. While we don't have the conception like the Mayavadis or the Sahajiyas, but still, while chanting, that call for pure love of God is not always consciously present. Now, in such a performance of Sankirtan, like, how do we rate it? If we are just following, should we consider it pure, or unless we come to the platform of what is the basic purity that is acceptable?
What is the basic purity that is accessible?
Acceptable.
Acceptable. Well, what do you mean by acceptable? It's whatever you have to offer. If you offer whatever you have, what else can you do that's acceptable? So a quality of genuine humility is acceptable. And if something is offered with genuine humility, not only Krishna will accept it, but one will become elevated. I'm thinking of the deity installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, where Srila Prabhupada was describing how one should worship, approach and worship the deity. And he was saying the same thing: one should approach in a very humble mood, not in a prideful mood, oh, now I'm worshiping Krishna, but in a humble mood, saying, I'm unqualified. Your question of, what's the threshold of eligibility? Prabhupada's statement about himself was, I'm, in that expression of humility, I'm rotten, I'm fallen, I'm puffed up. And his voice became choked up. He said, but please, you accept in that mood. So when there's genuine humility, we're not thinking of ourselves as like, the bell rang, I have this much eligibility, now I can offer something to Krishna, I can chant now, or I can worship now, or I can something. Humility. And sincerity, and Krishna will accept. And by that, one becomes more eligible.
In a basic level of preconception, we can understand impersonalism and sahaja conception, and consciously we don't relate with that. But how to understand the deeper level of preconception which blocks...
How to understand the what?
Deeper level of preconception and...
I can't get it. Okay, I got that part. Deeper level of preconception.
Yeah.
I don't understand your question. Deeper level of preconception.
Which blocks our chanting properly.
A deeper level of preconception that blocks our chanting. Yeah, that's pretty deep. Start rolling around on the ground and thinking you're in ecstasy. Or pretending that you're in ecstasy, and that's the goal. The seeing and imitating. Something that's genuine, seeing it, and then imitating something that's genuine. Or hearing about it, that, you know, that the associates of Mahaprabhu would, in ecstasy, do something. So one feigns that ecstasy. That's a contamination. It's not. That's pretty deep. So we may not do that, we may be more shallow than that one, or less imitation-like. So what's wanted is that we take up the actual position of being the humble servant. That's the deeper one. Then the misconception is something else, something else. Go to the real thing, and which is being the humble servant, eternally the humble servant of the Supreme Lord. Strive for that, and all kinds of contaminations and misconceptions will surface, evidence themselves. By striving for purity, the contaminations become disclosed. For all the devotees, the common experience is, as they progress in spiritual life, they realize, oh my God, that there's, look at this envy in my heart, or this or that or the other thing. I had no idea that yucky thing was in my heart. Because, they're just going along la-di-da. Conditioned life, not, just carrying baggage and not even know they're carrying baggage. And you become a devotee and then you realize, whoa. So you continue to strive for purity and you realize where the contaminations lie in the heart. But you continue because the means that allows you to realize that they're there will also help remove them from your heart. So strive for purity. And be really clear what that standard of purity is. Not an imagined standard of purity, but scripturally founded or grounded standards of purity. Does that address your question?
Thank you very much.
Okay. I think we'll end there. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.